Hi, good morning, everybody. Let me really invite you. We don't get to do that because it's a long week and you don't remember some things. But next Sunday morning at 10:15, I'll be doing the 101. And if I've never had a chance to meet you in that service, in that little about 40, 45 minutes at 10:15, I talk about our history of our church, where we've been, how we started. I talk about how our church is structured. I talk about the vision of our church, all that we're doing. And then I just open up for questions. So if I haven't got a chance to talk with you or meet you and you'd like to do that, next Sunday, it's usually just a small group. We do this every month. We kick it off and do it. We'll just be right here in the main auditorium. If you want to show up a little early at 10:15, and you can stay right on through to the 11:15 service. And we have a little drinks and a few things you can be a part of. But come and be with us. And I'd love to meet you. It's in a small group setting. And if you want to just come and listen, you can do that. And so you get a chance to greet you and to really invite you out. That'll be next Sunday morning at 10:15, Church 101. All right, everybody stand up today. This is our last one on this series. Next week, we start a series on love. Everybody say love. It's February. It's February, Valentine's Day. Ben will be kicking it off. Kenny will be over in the Spanish church for the next 2 weeks, taking Duilio's place. Duilio and Lahia are in Israel right now. Everybody say amen. Let me tell you how horrible it was. They got to fly first class from here to Israel. Cost them $35. Come on, somebody. Their daughter works for the airlines, and she had some perks, and the way it all worked out, they got to fly first class from here to Israel for $35. Now, they had to pay $35 a piece, you know, it's better. But they were able to go there, so great, great time. They're going to be ministering up in Upper Galilee. I'll tell you about that ministry, but we're going to take a part of that this year coming up and doing it. But Ben will be preaching here next Sunday on love. He'll begin to love between the brethren. I'll be going in for another checkup this week. They're going to go back up in my heart one more time. So they'll see what all is going on. But let's pray. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have helped us put our lives in order. When we first got saved, Lord, our lives, many of us were so much out of order. So many other things were first in our life, Lord, and you helped us put things in. You helped us put the big rocks in first. And so we thank you for helping us, Lord, get to the place where our life got in order. And so I just pray today that you would help us a little bit further. Lord, just peek into our lives and help us to do your will, your way. And we thank you for all that you have done. And we say, open our eyes in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated today. We've been doing this series, as we said. They're getting things in order. And today we're going to go where angels fear to trod. There's a couple ways you can check about how you're doing an order in terms of priority in your life. One is your calendar. The second one is your checkbook. Many times through the years, if I've been counseling, I'll just ask people very pointedly, if their life's out of order, a lot of things are taking place, I'll say, can you tell me your schedule? Don't tell me what you want your schedule to be. Tell me what you do every day. Give me kind of a routine of what happens. Secondly is, I said, tell me about your checkbook. And, you know, that gets very private. And so, you know, that's they get real quiet real fast in a counseling session because it really does tell about your life, what you're doing, what's priority in your life. What means anything? What are you spending your money's on? What are you doing? So today I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna talk to you. I'm gonna be very transparent. I'm gonna tell you I don't normally do this, but I'm gonna tell you what Jasmine and I did last year in terms of finances, and just be open and honest with you. And you know, you that have been here for a good while, you know I never do that, but the Lord told me to do it. I'm gonna do it today, and I'll just be at the end. I'll tell you so that you understand my heart in this. But let's start with Exodus chapter 13. It says, the Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Everybody say firstborn. God's about to do something into the nation of Israel, that he's about to instill something into their DNA, that they know this, that it literally becomes not something they even have to think about. It's just part of their DNA. And, you know, when my kids were growing up, part of their DNA was Sundays they came to church. They knew that was a non-negotiable. It was just there. It was in their DNA. Get up, go to church. And one of the keys about the nation of Israel, one of the things that God implants into their psyche is this concept of firstborn. And in the Middle East, even today, the firstborn of a family literally gets double what the others get. And it takes place to do. It's the same in the Armenian culture, same way. The firstborn gets double what everybody else gets. It's just a known thing. It's not. The rest of the kids may not like it, but that's how it works, and that's what it is, because it's in the Middle East. It's in their DNA. It's something in there. And God started this into the nation of Israel. He put it into their psyche about the firstborn. So the Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whoever is the first to, everybody say first. First to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine. And literally in the Hebrew, it's a very strong Hebrew word, which means belongs to me. This belongs to me. Whoever is the first, whether it's man or beast, belongs to me. And it became something that they lived so long in their life. It was just done deal. It was no arguing it. The firstborn of man and beast belonged to the Lord. It was the Lord's. It belonged to the Lord. And so they began to understand that literally it belongs to me. In 12 and 13, it says, you shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey. Now this is, the other one was a clean animal. Now he's going to talk about unclean animals. The firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb who was a clean animal. Donkey was an unclean animal when you study the Old Testament. Or you will not redeem it, you'll break its neck. Every firstborn of men among your sons you shall redeem. I know some of you wanted to break the neck of some of your kids. Yeah, no, we won't go. That's a whole different story. All right. All right, number one. The firstborn must be either sacrificed or redeemed. That was something God worked into the psyche of the nation of Israel where they understood. Human or animal had to be, the firstborn son, had to be either sacrificed or redeemed. So when a lamb had its first lamb, little sheep, when a sheep had its first little lamb, the first one had to be sacrificed to the Lord. Not that they ate it, cooked it, and ate it. They had to give it to the Lord. They literally sacrificed, cut its jugular vein, offered it to the Lord on a sacrifice, and they gave the meat. Everything was given to the Lord. So, and what happens is this, when it happens, it began to be just an understanding that they didn't really question anymore. Literally just made thing. And it became known that if the animal were an unclean animal, then they had to go sacrifice a clean animal for the unclean animal. And if they didn't, they just had to break the neck of that animal and literally lose it anyway. And one of the keys is, I always love this because everything in the Bible is about Jesus. You know, when he walked on the road to Emmaus, it says, beginning with the law and the prophets, he told them everything concerning himself. He was not the messenger. He was the message. And what this means is this, you know, let me just ask you this way. The clean had to be sacrificed for the unclean. Let me ask you this. When you and I were born, were we clean or unclean? Well, let me just ask every parent. Every parent in here, did you have to teach your children to be good or bad? Which one did you have to teach them to be? Did they automatically do bad things? Did they automatically have it in them that they did bad? So you had to teach them how to be good. Let me ask you another question. Was Jesus born clean or unclean? And did the clean sacrifice for the, come on, for the unclean. Come on, give the Lord a good clap off for this. Well, you may not even understand it, but it's a good one. So the clean had to be sacrificed for the unclean. And Jesus, if you ever really understand it, Jesus was really God's tithe. You know, God gave his son, God so loved the world, he gave his son in advance. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Did you know that God gave Jesus in faith that you and I and bunches like us throughout the centuries would love him and receive him? You know, God had no guarantee that any of us would receive him or do anything. He came into his own received him, and yet Jesus died for the ungodly. Jesus died, and literally it was God's tithe, believing that what Jesus, he gave him in faith, believing that there would be a great produce and a great fruitage of all that he did. And Jesus is God's firstborn, so he had to be sacrificed. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. Now, you give the first one before you have the others. That's faith when you do that in faith. All right. Now, God says in Exodus, if you don't have to, if you don't do it, you break its neck. And that is literally, it's going to be lost one way or the other. The firstborn always belong to God. And I've learned this about something with the Lord and with the firstborn. Either you give it to the Lord, like the Lord said, it belongs to me. It's a very strong Hebrew word. Or you break its neck, you lose it. And so either you give it or you lose it. I want you to look at Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. It says, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your father, you've turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return to you? Now watch this. Because when Israel began to backslide, one of the first things they did was they stopped giving the firstborn. An animal would have a sheep, and a sheep would have a lamb. Wouldn't give it to the Lord. Keep it. When a child was born, the firstborn, they wouldn't sacrifice an animal. They wouldn't redeem the child. They just went on living. Forgot about it. Went on with it. And God comes on the scene and he said, listen, you have forgotten my statutes and you need to return to me. How shall we return to you? It says, will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me, but you say, have we robbed you? And here's what God says. In your tithes and in your contributions, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe, everybody say full tithe, into the storehouse, and there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the, everybody say test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you, pour down a blessing till there's no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you, that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and the vine in your field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord your God. Now one of the keys, God told them they were literally stealing when they were not tithing the way God told them to tithe. Now, Kirby doesn't remember this, but I tell the story on this. When Kirby came and talked to me about marrying Jennifer, all of you that have young kids, you've got that in store for you one day. And he will come, and they will talk to you about marrying your daughter or, you know, your son, however it works. And I remember one of the first things I asked Kirby was whether he believed in tithing or not. And I just made it real. I didn't make it. I just kind of. And the reason was, is I didn't want my daughter marrying a thief. See, because my whole idea was that when I got her married, I wouldn't have to support her anymore. Come on, somebody. And if she go marry a thief and not be under and be under a curse, then I could see my days were not finished. I would be supporting them the rest of my life. So that was what I'll tell you more. But also, I knew the blessing of God's on their life. And I just know that when you tie with the blessing of God's there. And from just a purely business sense, God said, listen, I'll rebuke the devourer. That is, your tires will last longer, your washing machine will last longer, your clothes, your kids won't get sick, your dog won't bite somebody, you have the rabies bites and all that stuff. He'll just rebuke the devourer because the blessing of God's on your life. And I've learned that in my life. And so when you begin to do that, that's number one. Number two is the first fruits must be offered. The first fruits must be offered. And Exodus chapter 23, verse 19 says, the best of the first fruits of your ground you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. The best of your first fruits shall be brought into the house of God. Now, everybody say the word bring. One of the keys about first fruits is that you cannot give first fruits. You can only bring first fruits. I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. You cannot give what is not yours. You can only bring it. And into the DNA of Israel, God worked this thought. The firstborn and the firstfruits is mine. The firstborn and the firstfruits belong to me. They're mine. And so when God talks about firstborn or firstfruit, he never says give. He says bring them. Bring it because it's mine. I've told you, I've worked into your DNA. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to increase you. He says, bring it. Malachi 3:10 says it that way. It says, bring. Everybody say bring again. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse. See, when we give, Jasmine, I've lived this out for our lives. We bring, I never consider when I give a tithe or a first fruit or first, I never consider that I'm giving it. I'm bringing what belongs to the Lord already. I'm bringing this to the Lord. And what I do is, because I said, Lord, this is yours. It's in my DNA. It's in my psyche. That first part, that first fruit belongs to you, God. Every time I do that, it's a test. Every time I get a paycheck, every time I get an increase, I know it's a test. Am I going to honor him and say, Lord, you blessed me. You gave me the knowledge. You gave me the increase. You gave me health. You gave me strength. If your hand was removed from my life, I don't know what I would do. You gave me favor. You got me in here. You did. Lord, here is the increase. Here is the tithe. Here is the first fruits belongs to you. So you can only bring it. And I learned this. Lord spoke to me years ago. He told me two things. Only two things I can do with a tithe or a first fruit. I can bring it or I can steal it. Ooh, isn't that a strong word this morning? Let me give you an example of this. Israel, one time when they were in the wilderness, 40 years they heard about the land of milk and honey. 40 years they heard about, man, we're back going to cross the Jordan. We're going to get the land of milk and honey. And they literally, under Joshua, they crossed the Jordan River. And when they cross the Jordan River, they come to one of the nicest cities in Israel, was called Jericho. It was an oasis. You said it was gorgeous. When you're traveling, when you come from that part, the first greenery, and it's like a spa. You come to Jericho. And guess what God told him about Jericho? He said, that's the first fruits. It belongs to me. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to march around it. I'm going to destroy the city. I'm going to make all the walls fall down. Then I want you to take every piece of silver and every piece of gold and everything in there. Destroy everything that can be destroyed. And all the gold and silver and all that stuff belongs to me. You bring it to me. So look what it says in Joshua chapter 6. But all silver and gold and every vessel of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord. So it happens. They march around the city. Walls fall down. They go in. They defeat the enemy. The blessing of God's on them. They give the first city, the first fruits of that land, they give to God. The city is destroyed, sacrificed to the Lord, and all the gold is brought. And then they move from there under the blessing of God. They move from there, and then their next battle is this little city called Ai. And they just end up, just a few warriors go defeat that city because it's so little. They get absolutely stomped. And they come back to, what, God, what's wrong? God, what's going on? What's happening? And God says, because somebody, when you defeated Jericho, somebody stole some of the tithe. Somebody stole some of the first fruit. Somebody hid in their tent part of the first fruits that was dedicated to me. And so in Joshua chapter, verse 19, Joshua, he takes a Urim and a Thummim. He brings a whole nation before him. And he, Lord, is it this tribe? No, okay, it's this tribe, okay. Is it this family? Okay, no, it's that. And he brings all the way down to, literally comes to a head of a household called Achan. And Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord God of Israel. Give praise to him. Tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua, truly I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak of Shinar, 200 shekels of silver, a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I coveted them and I took them. And see, they're hidden in the earth underneath my tent with the silver underneath. And literally it caused the blessing of God to come off the nation of Israel because somebody touched the first fruits that belonged to the Lord. Because he said, the first fruits and the firstborn is mine, says the Lord. Very strong in the Hebrew language. So they call to God, why? And they literally do it. And God says, the full tithe was not brought into the storehouse, literally. Another example, when you look at the Bible, long before there was Moses and the law, very dawn of creation, the very dawn of our civilization, Adam and Eve are together, and they have two sons, Cain and Abel. And one of them becomes a farmer, and one of them becomes a rancher. And the Bible says, even in that early civilization, God worked into the DNA, the understanding of first fruits belong to the Lord. The first of all your increase belongs to the Lord. And so Cain, in fact, it says this. Have you ever wondered why God, the Bible says, God received Abel's offering, but rejected Cain's offering. And he thought, well, I don't know, maybe it had to do with what one was or what one wasn't. Well, let me show you exactly what it says in verse 3. So it came about in the course of time. Everybody say in the course of time. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel also brought of the, everybody say firstborn. firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry and his face fell. Look back at verse 3 one more time. Here's the answer. So it came about in the course of time. Literally, it means at the end of days. It came about at the end of days, in the course of time, Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Somewhere in time, somewhere in the course, at the end of days, at the end of it, Cain brings an offering to the Lord. And literally said that. Now notice what happens. But when Abel brought his, Abel brought of the firstborn of the flock. It was firstborn, and Abel immediately brought the firstborn and gave it to God. Cain, in the course of time, at the end of days, just brought an offering to the Lord. Let me put it in modern vernacular. Here's what Cain did. He gave what he wanted when he wanted.
Kind of good, an amen in this Presbyterian church this morning.
Cain gave what he wanted when he wanted. Just gave what he wanted when he wanted. And do you know anybody that does it like that? Pastor, I give as I feel led. Well, you can give. I mean, that's great. You can give as you feel. I mean, absolutely. You can give as you feel led. I mean, do that. I mean, I do that. But I don't do that with the tithe of the first fruits, because it ain't mine to do that with. The first fruits belong to the Lord. And the firstborn belongs to the Lord. And so literally, listen, you know, it's a commandment. I don't love my wife when I feel led. You know, I just love her when I feel led. The Bible commands me to love my wife. And I love her too. I love her. All right. Now let me give you this. Not only did God not receive Cain's offering, but let me just say it this way. God could not accept it. You know why? Oh man, what do you mean God could not accept it? Let me just say it this way. There are some things God cannot do.
I thought God could do anything.
No, there are some things God cannot do. He cannot lie. It's his DNA. God cannot lie. And the second thing God cannot do, I'll just put this out here, God cannot be second. He's always first. He's first. He's number one. He can never be second. He has the preeminence. He created everything. Everything evolved out of him. He cannot be second. And so he will not. God's always first. He can never be that way. And God will never do that. In Genesis chapter 4, Abel brings the firstborn and God accepts it. And then Cain brings an offering in the course of time. At the end of days, he gave what he felt like when he felt like giving. And the Bible says God did not receive it. And I'm going to tell you another thing. God could not receive it because God never accepts leftovers. He'll accept first fruits, but he won't accept last fruits. Now, let's get to number three, that since you're so excited about this. Let's go on to number third and the last point. The tithe must be first. Leviticus 27, this is what it says. Every tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. Every tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Is the Lord. It brings, it literally, it belongs to the Lord. Let me just say it this way. Let's say that you go out and do a job and your profit's $1,000. Let's say then you go out there and you're doing a job for somebody and they give you ten $100 bills. Let me just be real simple so you understand. What is the tithe off of $1,000? $100. All right, now let me ask you another one though. Which one is the tithe of those 10 bills you got in your hand? Which one of those is the tithe? Yeah, and which one is the first one? The one that leaves your hand first. The one that leaves your hand first belongs to the Lord. Now, let me tell you what we do. Jazz and I, when I get paid twice a week here. I will not let my check leave my office. What? Oh, so you're listening, are you? So you're listening. I didn't say that. I said twice a month. Erase that tape. I said twice a month. Twice a month. All right, twice a month. There must be prophecy coming on me. I just feel it coming on me now. Twice a month. And what I do is I do not allow my check to leave my office until I pay my tithe. I will not allow my check to leave my office. You say, oh, you're legal. Listen, I will not allow it. You know why? Because I learned this. If I do it and I just kind of forget and I start paying this, I learned if I pay my mortgage company first, my mortgage company does not have the ability to bless the rest of my money. They may curse it, but they don't bless the rest of my money. But see, I've learned this. Whatever I give first has the ability to bless the rest. We learned that. Whatever's first has the ability to bless the rest. And I've learned this. When I give the tithe unto God, it has the ability to bless the other 90% that I've got left over. He rebukes the devourer, all that takes place there. And let me give you, and one of the things is, I've done a lot of counseling through the years, and I've said, how do you do your finances? Let me tell you. Well, we kind of get our check, then we kind of go over all our bills, and we kind of go there, and then if there's anything left over, then we give God a little bit. And here's what I tell them. I said, I wouldn't do that anymore. I just wouldn't even give God anything. They said, why? I said, because he won't accept it. See, what do you say? See, the church may accept it. God doesn't accept that. I mean, the church going, we're going to accept it. We're not going to send it back to you. But it don't do you no good in heaven. I mean, I'm just being real honest with you. It doesn't do you no good. You might as well just keep it. Because it don't do you any good in heaven. Because God doesn't accept leftovers. And I made a commitment in my heart. I said, Lord, I'm going to give you the first fruits. I'm going to give you the best. I'm going to give you the first thing that goes out of my paycheck is going to be to you. Because it belongs to you. The first fruits belonged. The firstborn. Cain and Abel. God could not accept Cain's sacrifice. And so I've learned that in my life. I said, Lord, I'm going to give you the first. Malachi, listen, because Malachi 1. Look at this. It says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If I then am a father, where's my honor? If I'm a master, where's my fear? Where's my fear, says the Lord of hosts to you, O priest who despise my name? But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar. You say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor, says the Lord of hosts? You just give me leftovers. You're just giving me the leftovers. So I made up my mind years ago, I will never, ever give God the leftovers. I'm going to give him first. I made that in my life. I said, God, I'm going to give you the first of everything I got when it comes in my life. And please understand me. Listen, God must be first in our lives. And he knows when he's first in every area of your life. And he knows when he's not first in every area of your life. And how would God want us to tithe? He does it because it's a test. Malachi says, test me now, saith the Lord. It's a test. Everything that's happening, it's a test of whether or not you're going to put God first. And you're going to thank him for the paycheck, or you're going to thank your own strength and all. And I told you, that's how I do it. I give it first. And look what Matthew 6:21 says. It says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If he's first in your heart, he's first in your treasure. If he's first in your heart, then he's going to be first in your treasure. So please don't try to tell me that he's first in your heart if he's not first in your treasure. And totally change. Look what Malachi 3:10 says again. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, and that there may be food in my house. Thereby put me to the test, says the Lord. I will not open the windows of heaven, for you pour out down a blessing that there is no more need. I'll rebuke the devourer that he may not destroy the fruits of your vine. You're going to be a blessed place. So I've learned to do that. Is everything lasts longer. When I give it to the Lord, I give the first thing, everything lasts longer. There's no broken bones as much. There's no all this and that taking place. Now, can you not tithe and not give the first fruits and still be prosperous? Absolutely. But let me tell you the difference. Let me show you the difference. Proverbs says it this way. The blessings of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no what? No sorrow to it. Have you ever met a sorrowful rich guy? On his fifth marriage, kids are a problem, things are happening, all got the money, but that money has sorrow attached to it. So when you understand that, I've learned the blessings of God comes, he adds no sorrow to it. And so it's the real blessing of God in our lives, all right? Now, when you begin to do that, it's possible to prosper and be present. And let me end up with this morning. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 13. It said, every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, and if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck, and every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And when in time, listen to this, when in time your son comes to you and asks you, Dad, what are you doing? Let me just paraphrase it this way. It says, you shall say to him, by a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the firstborn animal. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. It shall be a mark on your hand or on your frontals between your eyes, or by a strong hand the Lord brought us out. Here's what he says. You know, the day is going to come when your little boy is going to grow up, he's watching you every day of your life. You ever done that? We've got grandkids now, and it's really, really evident to us how they mimic and see. And everything they see, that's what they act like. Them little eyes just watching. You see, they're just watching. And God said, the day is going to come when your little boy is going to grow up. And let's just say it this way. Little boy runs in the house and says, Daddy, Daddy, Mama, the sheep just had his first lamb. Come out, look. And they all run out, and the lamb is being delivered, and they say, and they're all looking at the wonder of life, and the lamb's trying to stand up, and all of a sudden, the father takes the lamb by the hind legs, holds it up, and slits its throat. Imagine that little boy thinking, I don't know what he did, but I'm sure not going to do whatever he did. Daddy's really mad. I mean, I wonder what's happening. Daddy is. But then as he grows, he notices that Daddy's doing this quite a bit. And let's say one day Junior's old enough where Junior's keeping the books, and Junior finally comes, and God said, now when he comes and asks you, is what you're going to tell him. So Junior comes and says, Daddy, I know that all of us had blind spots and all of us had habits that we don't know about, but Daddy, you got this bad habit about every time there's a firstborn, you kill it. We lost 74 lambs last year. You killed 74 lambs out of the, this is hurting us. You know, it's cutting into the profits. And Dad said, okay, sit down. And God said, now, do you tell him this? And he sits down. He said, you know, son, he said, let me tell you something. We weren't always a free nation. There was a time when we were slaves, and we were bound, and we could not free ourselves. We were hooked. We were destitute. We were beaten down. We were in our psyche. We couldn't do it. But the day came when God heard our cry. And God, with a mighty hand, came down and delivered us. And the way he delivered us was he killed the firstborn of both man and beast, unless they were under the blood. And he said, let me tell you something. I gladly sacrifice the firstborn and the firstfruits. I gladly give it because it belongs to the Lord. And so I gladly give it. Let me tell you something I learned in my life. I knew my kids were watching me all the days of my life. And I knew that one day that my values would be their values. And I took them on every missions trip I could go on with Samuel. We took them around the world because I wanted my kids to have my values and my wife's values. And they watched us because I wanted them to know, this is how you live life. This is how you do it. This is what you do in life. I don't care what anybody else said. This is what you do in life. And I wanted them to see that every firstborn, it belongs to the Lord. Because I wanted them, I wanted them to have God for themselves and love God for themselves. And I'm going to tell you one of the things is our kids love God. They're on fire for God. They're giving their lives for God. And this, just so you know that this is not some money-grubbing preacher. I finished something. We just finished it, so I can tell it now. The Lord told me I could tell it. But last year I read the story of the woman who brought the flask of oil or perfume to anoint the Lord, the alabaster box, and how she came in, and the Bible says she broke the seal and poured it all on him, anointed him, and it says that literally it was that literally those flasks, the alabaster were a soft marble. If you can, it's a oxymoron, but it's a soft marble from Egypt. And the pure nard that was in it is something out of India that day. And literally they said, it's ultra expensive. And literally said, when the people that were grumbling that saw what she did said, this could have been sold for over a year's wage. You ever read that story? Over a year's wage, this could have been, that's how expensive it was. And Jesus said, why? It was Judas and that group who were, they were stealing money, the Bible says, and all that. They were thieves, and so they didn't have a heart to give. And this woman was willing to give away over a year's wage. Just give it away to the Lord. And Jesus said, because it really had to do not with some legalistic law about giving. It says Jesus gave the parable to him, said, who loves much gives much. Who loves much, who's forgiven much, loves much. And it was a response to forgiveness. And last year, the Lord told me, I just felt it. Just give a year away. Just give a year away. And don't tell nobody. Don't let nobody know, and let me support you. So I did that. Last year, Jasmine, we just worked for free the entire year. We took our paycheck, gave it all back, and then we gave more than that back. We gave more than a year's wage back. We loved it. So I'm not some money grubbing, grabbing. I just want, and I let nobody know, and I just let God take care of us. Come on, somebody. And God can take care of you. I mean, it was an adventure. I'll tell you that. It was some tight time, but it was an adventure. And God can do that in your life. And when you come to that place where you just say, hey, I want my kids. Well, listen, there's a blessing. There's a way to do it. And there was a woman on one of the talent shows. And I want you to listen to this, the song, The Alabaster Box. And most of you have heard it before. But listen to her sing it. Because she's 54 years old. She's a grandmother, has 9 grandkids. And when she sang it on the talent show, all 4 judges were crying at the end, these secular judges, because I think it just grabbed something in them about the love of God and what Jesus did for me. And see, the reason I tithe, the reason I give, I guess, not because I have to, because I just remember what he did for me. And I know that there's little eyes watching me all the time in my life. I don't want to leave a legacy. I'm going to tell you, a legacy is more than just bank accounts. A legacy is what a life. We just had Mr. Chapman's, Ken Chapman's dad passed away. You talk about a legacy. 96 years old. He drove till he was 90 years old. When he was 89, I met him in Sears one day. We were in the tool department. He came walking over there. And I said, Mr. Chapman, I said, what you doing? He said, I'm buying me some new tools. I said, really? Yeah. He said, you get the sell paper. I said, yeah. I said, who brought you? He said, I drove myself, 89 years old, driving himself to Sears. And you ought to hear his testimony. His daddy was, I said, he used to sing, and they used to sing together. And his daddy was a preacher. And I mean, just legacy on legacy that you can do. And the legacy really comes out. Andre Crouch just died. I don't know if you know that. Andre Crouch has passed away. And Jasmine, like one of my favorite songs he ever did, Can't Nobody Do Me Like Jesus. Anybody ever heard that song? You ever heard that song? Can't Nobody Do Me Like Jesus. And Andre Crouch, when he was 7 years old, he got saved. 9 years old, his daddy, one day, wasn't musical. His daddy came to him and said, son, if God were to give you the talent of music, would you use it for the Lord? If God gave you the gift of music, would you use it for? And Andre Crouch said, yes, sir, I would. He took him, put him on the piano, little country church, and Andre started banging the piano keys. He became one of the great prolific, gospel writers, I think of all time, and wrote and just used of God, on and on. And he just gave all that talent to the Lord. And so this morning I'm going to do this. I'm going to end with this song, because the why you give is not because you have to, you get to. That's the difference. When love fills your heart, you get to do it. And I do it because it belongs to him. And I bring the tithe into the storehouse. I bring it to the Lord. I give it. I bring it to the Lord. I give above that, but I bring what belongs to the Lord. So watch this and let the Lord bless you. Bring the lights down low and this. Let the Lord work on your heart for love this morning. Watch this. Thank you.
The room grew still as she made her way to Jesus. She stumbled through the tears and made her blind. She felt such pain. Some spoke in anger. Heard folks whisper, "There's no place here for your kind." But still she came through the shame that fleshed her face, until at last she nailed me for his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard, as she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster. I call to pour my praise on him like oil for Mary's alabaster bath. Don't be angry if I washed his feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair. Weren't there the night he found me? You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me. And you don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster bath. The way life used to be, I was a prisoner to the sin that had me bound. And I spent my life pouring my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I had found. Came to me and healed my soul with the wonder of his touch. So now I'm giving back to him all the praise he's worthy of. I've been forgiven, and that's why I love him so much. I come to on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Oh, don't be angry if I washed his feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair. Cause you in my bus.
You know, in my senior school book annual, I was voted most likely to stay drunk the rest of my life. That was what I was known for. And I thought, Lord, what a change you've made in my life. Where I would have been, what my kids would have been like, where I'd have been and all that. Unless he came and redeemed me with a strong hand. I don't know how many of you might be caught in things and you just need God to redeem you with a strong hand. And when he does, he changes you forever and you give. And I'm going to tell you, I willingly give the first fruits. I willingly give the tithe. I do it with a heart of gratitude because he redeemed me with the death of the firstborn. He gave his firstborn to redeem me. And so every time I get an increase, every time I get a check, every time I get something, I gladly give the first fruits. I gladly say, Lord, this is holy to the Lord. It belongs to you. So, Lord, we just come this place this morning. You know our hearts. You know my heart, God. You know not after things, I'm after them. But I want to see them blessed. I want to see them, their lives in order. I want to see things, Lord, I want to see them prosper with no sorrow added to it. I want to see them grow in you, Lord, and just follow you. So, Lord, today we just lift our hearts afresh and new. And we tell you, Lord, we thank you for what you did through Calvary's cross. We thank you for the firstborn being sacrificed for us. And we thank you for such a change you wrought in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, when our little ones watch us, they see, Lord, a lifestyle. They see a legacy, and it'll change them forever. We love you with all our hearts, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Give the Lord a good clap offering. Would you do that? Okay, I got to get used to doing the offering at the end, but this is kind of a unique morning to do it. But we do. We got offering. We got iPads over there that we take electronically. If you want to set something up new today, you can. Ben and them will be back there to help you. We do the regular giving over in those boxes. Let's just pray. Father, we pray one more time over the offering. We thank you for it. We love you for it. We give Lord all the offerings before that, but we bring the tithe to you today. We count it holy in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen one more time. All right, give everybody a good hug before you leave today. God bless you.